Whenever through self-unfoldment an individual attains to the state of consciousness symbolized by a certain God, then that God is declared to be incarnate in that personality and to actually walk the earth. Thus the God of joy is incarnate in the joyful man, the God of mercy in the merciful, the God of truth in the truthful, and the God of war in those who fight. Being divine attributes, the gods thus become flesh in those mortal creatures who have unfolded and given expression within themselves to those godlike attributes. In the temple of 10,000 Buddhas at Kyoto, Japan, are to be found numberless images of the Buddha and the attendant bodhisattvas, or disciples of the Lord of Enlightenment. Perfection is represented in the form of the Buddha, and the disciplines or ways of perfection in the forms of bodhisattvas. The latter are the stages of enlightenment, the symbols of the sure and eternal path which wins through the illusion and leads ultimately to the attainment of perfect good. Dear to the heart of the East is the beloved Kuan Yin, or Kuanan, the great bodhisattva of Avalokiteshvara, the Oriental Madonna, commonly called the Goddess of Mercy. For centuries the Buddhist monks have striven in their meditations to blend their consciousness with this divinity of compassion, the merciful, enduring one. The artists' priests have loved to depict upon silk or carve in stone, wood, or ivory the form of this compassionate consciousness of protection. Kuan Yin was originally a masculine figure, probably based upon an historical Buddha, presumably the second of the great line, but through the centuries the compassionate nature of Avalokiteshvara is responsible for the gradual metamorphosis of the figure into a feminine divinity. In China and Japan, Kuan Yin is usually a standing figure robed in graceful flow, in gauance with the face set in compassionate repose. Often, the figure has only two arms, although a favorite number is six. When shown with six arms, Kuan Yin is generally seated, with her head resting upon the palm of her hand. In Japan, there are figures of the Kuan Yin with as many as 1,000. THEANNIHILATIONOFTHESENSEOFDIFORERSITY99 100 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. Arms to symbolize the universal scope of the Kuan Yin Khan. Consciousness. In Tibet the figure is often shown with 11 heads. Certain late Buddhist writings give definite philosophical meaning to numbers, so the multiplicity of MMBERS is of particular import. The poses of the various hands give a key to the exalted nature of Eastern mysticism. The mudras, or hand postures of the Buddha, constitute a secret science of which little is known to those not initiated into the Buddhist mysteries. The hand may be extended in an attitude of giving, which then signifies the consciousness of giving, and which, when free from all terrestrial taint, gives an exquisite pleasure to the inner self. The joy of giving is a commendable state of consciousness, as is also the joy of receiving. All these joys are finally discarded. However, until but one remains, namely, the perfect bliss of contemplation of self. In Japan there is a lovable Buddhist divinity usually shown with a bald head and a benign countenance. This is Jizo, the god of little children. Because of his great love for helpless child souls, Jizo has become their patron and protector. When a baby dies, according to the Japanese legend, it wanders in a gloomy cavern awaiting rebirth, where it has for its only task the heaping up of little piles of stones. In his glimpses of on familiar Japan, Lafcadio Hearn describes the cave of the children souls where flows the legendary fountain of Milk from which the dead children drink and where in the gloom sits the smiling Jizo. And the evil spirits frighten them. The loving Jizo extends his arms and the children's souls all run and hide in the sleeves of his kimono. It is evident that Jizo signifies not only the consciousness of the love of children but also, in a more lofty sense, that consciousness which, having elevated itself to the heights of realization and gazing down upon unknowing humanity, realizes all creatures to be but little children piling up heaps of stones. Whether these piles be in the distant Japanese cave of Kaka or the stone heaps of a great city, Jizo gazes with boundless calm passion upon infant humanity. And the monsters of war, greed, and lust frighten the ignorant and immature. He then extends his arms, and like the Master Jesus brooding over Jerusalem longs to gather the weak and helpless under the protection of his flowing robes. The god Jizo is incarnate in those in whom love for the weak and desire to serve the helpless springs from a true realization of that which must be accomplished. Jizo is a principle, and those possessing and manifesting this principle are one with him in his labor of love. In the Tushita heaven of the Lamas dwells the radiant consciousness of Maitreya, the loving one, the desired of all nations, the Buddhist Messiah who is yet to come. This Bodhi Sattva is the personification of man's hope of ultimate achievement. He signifies the eternal tomorrow, the time of all accomplishment. Robed in futurity, he is the consciousness of noble destiny. At the Lama Temple in Peking is to be seen a gigantic figure of Jampa, Maitreya, whose gilt-lacquered body dazzles the beholder with its brilliance and whose expressionless face gazes down upon the altar 70 feet below. Maitreya gives a definite key to the worldwide belief in a coming Savior whose advent will be marked by miracles and who shall lead his people to spiritual and temporal victory. Maitreya is the consciousness of hope, and he comes to those who can sense, even abstractly, the existence of a nobler and more illumined state. According to popular superstition, the advent of Maitreya, like the 10th avatar of Vishnu, will be a particular and definite occurrence. In reality, however, Maitreya is continually manifesting as the circumstances that lead worlds, nations, and individuals up along the path of the law to final absorption with the Absolute. Maitreya saves the world by revealing to the world that it is capable of salvation, for out of the realization of possible perfection is born the hope and strength to persevere. Maitreya is therefore the embodiment of Dharma, and he who accepts the law shall be saved by the law. Jesus, another personification of the law, assured his followers that those who believed in him should not perish. Maitreya is the way, the truth, and the life which, coming to every life, redeems all who accept it. THEANNIHILATIONOFTHESENSEOFDIVERSITY 101. 102 LECTURESONANCIENTPHILOSOPHY. In dealing with the subject of consciousness, it is possible to conceive of reality as permeating the entire area of space and gradually contracting itself toward the center, thereby limiting itself in the establishment of unreality. Or, on the other hand, consciousness may be regarded as occupying a central point from which it radiates itself throughout all being, pouring its effulgence into the abyss of the not-self, which is there by redeemed. The Kabbalists reconciled both these viewpoints by affirming that Ansaf, the Absolute, first retired from the circumference to the center to establish the illusion and then diffused itself over the area private by its first withdrawal, thus re-establishing reality. The Ptolemaic system of astronomy, though untrue from a scientific point of view, clarifies one of the esoteric teachings of ancient learning so long misconstrued by modern scholars. By placing the Earth in the center of the solar system and dividing the interval between the Earth and the inner wall of the heavens by a number of planes corresponding to the orbits of the planetary bodies, a diagrammatic figure of consciousness and its extensions is created. Outside the orbit of the Earth were the spheres of the Moon, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn in the order noted. Beyond the sphere of Saturn was the plane of the constellations which formed the inner surface of the zodiacal globe. Outside this globe was the empyrean, or dwelling place of the gods. The mysteries taught that man must ascend in realization from the Earth through the rings, or planes, of the planets to the circle of the zodiac. Having reached the wall of heaven, he was then to break through and enter the supreme universe. After realization has pierced the crystalline shell of being, it then ceases to be under the jurisdiction of the governors of the seven planets and the vast body of cosmic agencies controlling all mundane creations. The student, however, should not conceive of his consciousness as rising, but rather of his inferior self ascending through various levels of consciousness to ultimate union with the all-knowing. This idea requires further amplification. What man pleases to call his spirit is, in reality, the level of self to which he is attuned by the quality and completeness of his realization. The Oriental symbolizes universal self as an immense sunburst, its inconceivably magnificent center surrounded by innumerable rings of petal-like emanations, which decrease in brilliancy as they recede from the center. This sunburst fills all conceivable space, extending from up to down and from in to out. And each of its petals, or rays, supports, in the sense of being, the causal nature of a definite genus of so-called evolving life. Thus the infinite diversity of manifestation reflects the infinite potentialities of the causal nature. The question may properly be asked how the self, though an absolute unity and hence incapable of diversity, can still exist in a number of apparently different states. To employ a simple analogy, let us take two goblets, one containing wine and the other water. The wine will symbolize self, the water, the illusionary universe of Pri Vashin of the self, the abyss of the German mystics. If a small quantity of the wine be poured into the wine will undergo no actual change, yet it will be so diluted as to be apparently different from its original state. Then imagine all the wine to be divided into single drops which are allowed to fall into the water one at a time. Each drop will cause a minute but definite difference in the degree of dilution, and consequently, the wine will exist in as many conditions as there are degrees of dilution. Yet the wine will actually undergo no change, and regardless of how much water is added, it will still remain a single substance. Thus the infinite diversity of manifestation has its origin not in separate spiritual agencies, but in the conditions which the self is capable of assuming in relation to its own absence. In East Indian philosophy, the human figure is substituted for the earth, otherwise the Ptolemaic system of the planets is preserved, the outermost orbit becoming the boundary of limitation that separates the individual from the universal state. Sitting in meditation in the midst of his little universe, the philosopher, by definite projection of the faculties of realization, annihilates one by one the walls that enclose him until finally, with one supreme effort, he shatters the globe of his individual ity and achieves nirvana.